On the Radar, an Eagle News program that takes you beyond the streets and brings you closer to national and international breaking news as it unfolds. Tune in every Monday to Friday from 1 to 2:30.
A very good afternoon, Namibia. It's Tuesday, the 29th of April, 2025, and just like that, we are settling into the rhythm of a brand new week. Now, if Monday was the warm-up, today is where we really hit our stride. Now, whether you're deep into your to-do list, navigating traffic, or just finding your flow, take a breath and keep going. Now, here on the Radar, we are keeping the momentum going and looking ahead to a week that holds a special meaning, because this Wednesday is May 1st, International Labor Day. It's not just a public holiday, it's a powerful reminder to honor the people behind the progress, the builders, the teachers, the cleaners, the health workers, the drivers, the dreamers. Every role matters. Now, so today we invite you to reflect on the work you do and the work others do to keep life moving. Let's talk dignity, fairness, and opportunity in the workplace. Let's ask, are we doing enough to protect and empower the workers of Namibia? Well, you're listening to On the Radar with me, Ndafa Happy Juju, your midday dose of real stories, real voices, and the pulse of the nation. Coming to you live every weekday from 1300 hours to 1430, bringing conversations that matter, from labor rights to life hacks, headlines to heartbeat. Now, as always, we want to hear from you. Call us in studio on 083-288-401 and tell us, what does work mean to you, and what's your message for Namibian workers on this upcoming Labor Day come 1st of May. So let's keep showing up for one another and for the future we are building together. Happy Tuesday, Namibia, and as you prepare and anticipate for 1st May Labor Day. Do stay tuned as we are diving into today's top stories. First up on our agenda, the Mobile Telecommunications Limited, MTC, celebrated its 30th anniversary with a renewed commitment to supporting Namibia's socio-economic development. At a commemorative event held in Windhoek, Managing Director Ricky Erastus emphasized the company's mission to drive digital transformation and social impact across sectors including education, health, arts and culture, and entrepreneurship. While we are proud of our past, the next 30 years demand more from us. We must innovate and invest meaningfully to transform lives sustainably, said Erastus. He called for prioritizing education to build a generation of leaders committed to integrity and national progress. Prime Minister Eliane Gerere, who delivered congratulatory remarks, stressed the importance of data sovereignty and digital inclusivity. Commending MTC's 98% population coverage, he urged the company to reach full national connectivity and maintain secure, sovereign data systems. Over the years, MTC has pioneered key milestones, including the launch of a 3G network in 2006. It was among the first in Africa to deploy 4G LTE in 2012 and the first in Africa to trial 4.5G in 2016, and $1 billion invested in 081 Everyone campaign launch in 2017. In 2021, a first state-owned entity to list on Namibia Stock Exchange and first in Africa certified under ISO 27001 of 2022 in 2023. And then in 2024, Namibia's first 5G mobile trial, mobile financial services launch via MTC Maris. Now let's now engage Erasmus Nekundi, that is MTC's corporate communications practitioner, furthermore on MTC's 30th anniversary. Good afternoon, Mr. Erasmus Nekundi, and welcome to On the Radar News Bulletin.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. So I understand that yesterday MTC celebrated its 30th anniversary. Walk us through how that celebration was and reflecting on past years or even in the early years of MTC.
Yes, that's very much correct. Yesterday we did celebrate our 30th anniversary birthday, It's quite a milestone if you look at the 3 decades where we have started to where we are now, and the contribution that we have actually made to contributing to the national development agenda. If we reflect back to where we have started as a very small Namibian company,
mm-hmm.
and over the years has grown and cemented its position to be the telecommunication leader in Namibia, making sure that it's contributing not just to providing telecommunication connectivity to Namibians, but also going as further as making sure that we complement government's national development agenda of contributing to various social economic causes, and that is what really we reflected. That is what we celebrated to say. Let's pause, reflect to the past 3 decades, the achievements. Of course, it wasn't a walk in the park, challenges here and there, but because of the determination of the company, of our employees, the past, the present, and future employees, of course. And of course, because of the customers that have always stood by MTC, supporting MTC business, that is what made us who we are. And that is what got us to where we are, to a point where now, for instance, we now stand at 98% population network coverage in the country.
Mm-hmm.
What does that tell you? It means that we only have 2% for us to have record 100% population network coverage. But of course, that 100% is not so easy to achieve because the population continues growing, and as it grows, we continue to also make those capital investment in our infrastructure to make sure that we continue providing quality and network connectivity to our people.
Indeed. And what are MTC's immediate plans to reach the remaining 2% of the population that is not yet covered by your network?
We have, I think in 20, I can't recall if a couple of years back, we have had, or we introduced, or we launched the 081 Everyone Network project,
mm-hmm.
and it's a project that is deliberately driven to make sure that we continue investing in network infrastructure so that we continue bridging the gap, whether it's a digital divide gap or the gap in connectivity that some of our communities has been experiencing. And with that drive, that is how we intend to achieve that 100% network coverage.
Yeah.
It's a project that is in place. It's a project that will always continue upholding to make sure that at no point do we slack in terms of providing connectivity to our people. And as I've indicated, of course, challenges will always be there.
Mm-hmm.
But challenges will not hold us back. Challenges will not discourage us from making sure that every Namibian is connected. Challenges will not deter us from allocating specific efforts, whether it's monetary or whatsoever, to make sure that we inject and provide a helping hand to our communities.
Yeah.
Social, whether it's social or economic,
mm-hmm.
whether it's in sectors like arts, sports, arts, sports and culture, whether it's in health, whether it's education, whether it's housing. And I'm mentioning those because those are some of the areas that we cover in our corporate social investment efforts.
Yeah.
So we really pause to then say, let us reflect and celebrate what we have done and what we will continue doing.
Okay.
So yesterday we really then took time to have our employees, customers, external stakeholders that form part of MTC, and we really just celebrated that day.
Mm-hmm. You've also spoken about investments in education. But what specific investments in education does MTC plan to roll out over the next 5 years?
You see, to start with, we have three, I'll call them vehicles, through which we provide an assistance to the sector of education. The first one I'll mention it is the bursary scheme,
mm-hmm.
of which myself was a beneficiary. I didn't have funds to complete my studies, and through the bursary from MTC, I was able to do so.
Yeah.
And this is the bursary that is in place to assist students who are in no position to fund their academic affairs. And I'm glad that now the president has announced that as of next year, the education at state institutions, educational university is going to be for free. From our side, we have had a bursary scheme on as a project that assists in the education sector.
Mm-hmm.
We have what is known as MTC Rural Schools Project. And this is a project that is in place, and it builds classrooms for schools, specifically mostly those that are in remote areas that are in need of classrooms, that do not have sufficient classrooms where we have kids taught under trees or in tents.
Yeah.
So in partnership with the Ministry of Education, we then roll out this project, MTC Rural Schools Project, whereby every single year, in partnership with the Ministry of Education, we identify at least two or three schools that need help. The ministry says to us, okay, there is a specific school in Zambezi region that needs a block of, for instance, say, four classrooms. Then as MTC, through the MTC Rural Schools Project, we then go to that specific school and we make sure that we build those classrooms for that specific school so that the learners at that school are taught in a conducive environment.
Mm-hmm.
So this project have been to many regions. I think now we only remaining with four regions. Because the idea is to make sure that each and every region benefits from the project. And once we have done with all the regions, we will start over again from region one and continue. Then the circles continue, making sure that we continue building those classrooms, whether it's classrooms or labs, to ensure that kids are taught in proper environment.
Yeah.
The third one is the MTC. But now we don't call it MTC, we call it Namibia National Internship Program.
Mm-hmm.
This is a program that we have in place where we assist students from five institutions at the moment. That's UNAM, NAST, VTC, NIMT, and IUM, with internship opportunities. We have known and we have learned, and it's documented, that a lot of students on an annual basis, they struggle to find internship opportunities. And in most cases, courses at this high institution of learning require a student to conduct or do an internship before they graduate. And students find themselves struggling to find this internship. So we then came up with this program where we assist students with internship opportunities. And these internship opportunities are not just provided at MTC. We work with other institutions. If you are doing geology or you are doing accountant and there is an accountant firm,
mm-hmm.
that we are working together with, or is a power partner, we will then allow you or place you at that accounting firm to do your internship program, whether for 3 months, especially for those who are coming from universities. And while you are there, we make sure that we pay you a stipend of 3,000 per month to assist with your daily needs. And this program is making a difference, and a lot of students are really being onboarded and benefiting from this. And when we place them to these different institutions while paying them, we always encourage this institution to say, when these students are placed with you, don't just make them make copies and make tea. Expose them experience so that they learn. And when possible, we encourage this institution to absorb these interns into their employment so that at the end of the day, we also reduce unemployment rate in the country.
Exactly.
So those are the three instruments or vehicles or programs that we have in place in assisting the education sector.
Mm. Now, given that President Neto Mwanandi Naitwa recently announced that tertiary, come next year, 2026, tertiary education at public schools, public institutions will be free. Will we see MTC now driving its hand towards a private institutions to fund those students? Is it something that perhaps could be rolled out in your plans?
It can never be ruled out because remember they say education will be free at state institutions or universities. Now remember we have now students who are studying at institutions that are not paid for the state.
Yeah.
And those students will also find those will be needed for assistance. So we can't rule out that one. Obviously, an assistant towards education will always be something that we will be willing to engage and extend.
Indeed. Thank you so much, Mr. Nekundi, for making time for us right here on the Reader News Bulletin.
Thank you very much. I almost say, can you please just say, I know it's a bit belated, but can you please just say happy 30th birthday to MTC with enthusiasm.
Yeah.
Happy 30th birthday MTC Namibia.
Exactly. Happy birthday to MTC Namibia. We're actually very appreciative of all that MTC does for us and does for this country.
Thank you very much.
Okay. You're tuned into On the Radar News Bulletin. We're just getting started with our news. Stay tuned. We are taking a trip to the marketplace, but we'll be back shortly with more news. Stay with us.
Did you know that in Namibia, over 1.4 million people use their mobile device to access the internet? So why not meet your current and potential customers where they already are? With over 600,000 cumulative users around the world, between the Eagle FM and Imba mobile apps, Eagle Media House has the perfect digital platforms for you to advertise your business, upcoming events, weddings, vacancies, funerals, or any other announcement that you have on their digital billboards in their mobile applications. Put your ad on our digital billboards and with one tap of the screen, lead users directly to an address of your choosing. For more information, contact Hende at 081-410-9077. That's 081-410-9077.
Welcome back. Namibia's mining sector injected more than 24 billion Namibian dollars into the local economy in 2024 with 24.154 billion Namibian dollars spent on goods and services from Namibian businesses. Now, this accounted for 46.2% of the industry's local revenue of 52,295 billion Namibian dollars. Now, according to the Chamber of Mines of Namibia's 2024 Mining Industry Review. Despite a challenging year, the sector remained a major economic pillar, said Chamber President Zebra Kasete. He emphasized the importance of local procurement in promoting socio-economic development and empowering communities. We now caught up with Philippus George Amukwaya, who is the Secretary General of the Mine Workers Union of Namibia, on local companies benefiting more from the mining industry. Let's take a listen. Good afternoon, Mr. Philippus George Ampere, and welcome to On the Radar News Bulletin.
Good afternoon to your listeners as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, the Villager newspaper covered a story on mining businesses and that local businesses procured 24 billion worth of goods and services to the mining industry. Mr. Amukwaya, is there perhaps a space for local businesses to supply more?
Yes, of course. I mean, the statistics evidently show that at least half of the procurement still is accounted for by foreign suppliers.
Mm.
So that gap suggests potential increased local participation, of course, especially in higher value goods and specialized services.
ended. Now, how do we get more local companies to participate? I mean, what could be some of the barriers that are hindering other local companies in partaking?
A couple of notable ones would be a lack of technical capacity or specialized for mining specific products. Mm-hmm. That's one, limited access to capital or credit for, especially for small scale operations. Strengthened quality, safety and certification standards. I think most of the smaller or local companies might not meet the international standards as it comes to procurement practices perhaps. And then the information gaps. We have realized that, especially with the SMEs that are not aware of the procurement opportunities that might be out there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now it has been noted that most of the local supply is on basic stuff. Is there any how perhaps we can develop capacity in complex products and services to be able to supply the mining sector locally?
No, definitely. I think the government and strategic partners can invest in technical education and vocational training, for example, your TVETs. But then the skills should be tailor-made to the supply chain, for example, with your engineering, with your instrumentation and site-specific sort of qualifications that are relevant to the industry. Another potential consideration is to encourage foreign companies to form local joint ventures as opposed to having a 100% owned foreign company. Multinational companies can absorb smaller companies and sort of try to instill some technical expertise in them. That could be one consideration as well.
Mm. Now, the document also showed that Namibia's diamond sector lowered. Just how viable is Namibia's diamond mining industry in the face of declining global demand and prices?
Well, of course, the competition. I think with the lab-manufactured diamonds now also being a challenge.
Mm.
I think more needs to be done to sort of advertise and sensitize the need to buy, number one, local, number two, to buy authentic.
Mm.
So the relevance is there.
Taking flights has never been easier. Piratas is introducing SkyFi internet packages with speeds that will have you reaching for your seatbelts. Starting from $500, excluding VAT, per month, with speeds reaching up to 10 megabits per second. There's even a prepaid option where you can top up your SkyFi internet for just $15 per gigabyte. No contracts, no fuss. Visit your nearest Piratas branch to find out more. Or go to piratas.africa/Namibia to sign up online. Always prepare,
Piratas. Welcome back, and now we continue with our conversation with Philippus George Amokwaya.
This the procurement process is more focused on the genuine and a legitimate production of the diamonds,
yeah,
as opposed to synthetic ones.
Mm. Now, could uranium or gold realistically replace diamonds as the country's main mining revenue contributor in the long term? Do you see that being possible?
Well, evidently so. I think the statistics are clear, and with new mining deposits being established every so often, you would see that the uranium production will slightly pick up.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, of course, while we are still talking on mines in industry, what advice would you give to students currently or those who are aspiring to partake in Namibia's mining industry? I mean, our oil and gas is also picking up in this regard. What would you advise them to partake so that they can be relevant and also contribute and also partake in what's making headlines in the near future?
No, well, evidently the markets are moving towards the actual mining processes. One would definitely encourage that the student participate in TVET opportunities, garner the skills that are relevant to the industry, and of course not just study to become employees, also study to establish SMEs that are relevant to the industry, especially with your oil and gas and your green hydrogen I think those are areas that students definitely need to get sufficient information, do thorough reading, and pursue those careers. And I think if that can be guaranteed, I think the industry will definitely not necessarily be an international level, but then it will be at a national level where locals are properly educated and capacitated to participate fully in those opportunities. Yes.
And do you think we have the capacity to push the students to fund them in that regard to leverage and make sure that we are on par with other companies? And as you say, perhaps not internationally yet, but nationally.
Oh, of course we have the capacity nationally. I think we just heard that tertiary education might be free going forward, and I think that is some of those very low hanging fruits that students and prospective
employers
should take advantage of. And of course, obviously, we also need the employers to come to the party, especially multinational companies. They need to be able to invest in the skills development of this prospective qualified person. And you can only do that by, you know, subsidizing on their cost to get sufficient expertise in those relevant fields.
Mm. Mm. Okay. Thank you so much, Mr. Philippus George, for making time for us right here on the Reader News Bulletin.
You're most welcome. Thank you so much, and thanks to your listeners once again.
Okay.
All right.
We pause here yet again for a trip to the marketplace, but we also invite you to partake in the news bulletin right here on the radar. That is by dialing on 083-288-401. Remember, it's a conversation and you are invited to partake and share your opinions and contributions.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Audio mnangeshifa no hara kushivifa oma akuro ye kupitira mohorike radio station awe yo Eagle FM enya mkuno olongaha ningi kwa tafano na Monica kushikondosha ipindi konorahita tuimwe heali imwe ne heali imwe imwe no hamano. That is 0817147116 mombirewa konorahita tu natu mbali oheta tu batatu ne nola no natu nenge tumo emaila monica@eaglefm.com.na opo mone oshijemo shiri nawa.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. A peaceful demonstration held by security officers led by their representative Namibia Security Workers Union has led to the revelation that their employer, that is Omea Investment CC, does not pay them according to the national minimum wage. In response to that, the Ministry of Justice and Labor Relations has ordered the Omea Investment CC to comply with the wage order on the national minimum wage by rightfully remunerating its security officers.
This is a press release issued by the Minister of Justice and Labor Relations, Department of Labor Relations, on the order issued by this ministry to Omea Investment CC to pay its security officers as per the national minimum wage. The Ministry of Justice and Labor Relations has ordered the Omea Investment CC to comply with the wage order on the national minimum wage by rightfully remunerating its security officers. The issue on non-compliance came to light when the security officers read by their representative, Namibia Security Workers Union, held a peaceful demonstration on the 17th of April this year. The union petitioned the Minister of Justice and Labor Relations, Honorable Philemon Wise Emmanuel. In their petition, they indicated that their employer does not pay them according to the national minimum wage and has dismissed plus minus 50 employees and hired new security officers. Investigation by this ministry confirms that Omea Investment CC was paying its employees based on the outdated minimum wage in the security industry, that is $8.75 per hour, contrary to wage order on the national minimum wage that came into effect 1st of January 2025. The national minimum wage prescribed $13.50 $0.50 per hour for security officers. The wage order is binding on all employees and employers. The employer has, however, indicated that the company did not dismiss any employee as claimed by the trade union, but rather that the employees were on fixed-term contract that ended. The ministry is therefore advising the employees, if they were indeed dismissed as claimed by their representative, to launch a case with the Office of the Labor Commissioner within 6 months' period from the date of dismissal as provided for by the Labor Act. Moreover, the findings establish that the employees have not been paid for overtime as well as for work done on Sunday and public holidays. The employer was advised by this ministry to comply immediately and pay any due payments to the employees. Receiving the petition, Honorable Emmanuel assured the workers that the ministry will investigate the matter to ensure that the rights of workers are protected. I quote, "The national minimum wage reflects the government commitment to uplifting the livelihood of Namibian workers. The ministry will take a decisive action to ensure all full compliance because no workers should have to march for what is rightful theirs," marked the minister. End of quote. While the ministry understands that the national minimum wage might have found some service providers, in this case the Omea Investment TC, with already existing contracts with their clients when it came into force, it would like to emphasize that it remains a responsibility for the service provider to ensure that they comply with the national minimum wage as well as other provision of the law without any compromise. It remains the responsibility of the employer to ensure full compliance with the labor laws. Failure to such, the ministry will be forced with not any other alternative but to act accordingly. End of press release. I thank you.
Welcome back. And now for a short commercial break, and we'll be back shortly to continue with our news bulletin.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
As Namibia joins the world in commemorating International Labour Day, the spotlight turns to the right of workers, the enforcement of labour laws, and the continuing role of trade unions in safeguarding decent work conditions. Labour Day, observed annually on May 1st, honours the struggles and the achievements of workers globally. In Namibia, the day serves as both a celebration and a critical reflection on the progress made and the challenges that remain in the fight for fair employment practices. Now, as part of our coverage, we spoke with Sho Hanok Amkwa, the Deputy Director responsible for Labour Inspectorate at the Ministry of Labour, Industrial Relations and Employment Creation. He confirmed that labour laws are indeed being enforced, but acknowledged that gaps in compliance persist, particularly in the informal sector and in remote areas. Amkwa also emphasised the crucial role that trade unions play in maintaining industrial harmony and advocating for employee rights. Good afternoon, Mr. Sho Hanok Amkwa, and welcome to On the Radar News Bulletin.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Happy. Thank you for having me.
Now, tomorrow is International Labour Day. So what does International Labour Day represent in Namibia today, and how can we make it more than just a public holiday?
Yes, thank you very much. The worker day is very, very crucial and it's very, very important in the labor fraternity. The 1st of May, it's kind of a national call for the solidarity around the whole country, whereby all the employees and employers and even the community out there to kind of play a solidarity around the fair, safe working condition and the right of collective bargaining in a good faith and equal bargaining. So obviously this is a very critical way by everyone has to sit and reflect on the working conditions, with the aim to make sure that the work, or environment is made conducive for business.
Indeed. Now, Mr. Amkwa, what are the most common labor disputes that have been reported and what do they tell us about the working condition in the country?
Yes, thank you very much. From experience, as we used to conduct labor inspection to different types of workplaces and in all sectors of economy, with the aim of compliance with the labor law, we found out that there are some of the sections of the Labor Act that are mostly contravened by the employers. Those are such as, at mostly you find employees or complainants that are coming to report the issues like non-payment of salary, long working hours and non-payment of overtime, just to mention few. And those are the disputes that are normally brought to the or complaints that are brought to our labor inspectorate for labor inspector to go and conduct a thorough investigation in order to try to get the fact on the allegations and also to bring the parties together in order for them to realize and get the importance of the Labor Act and to make sure that they comply with the provision of the Labor Act at large.
Yeah. Now, are labor laws in Namibia being effectively enforced and what gaps still exist in compliance?
Yes, thank you very much. The Ministry of Now Justice and Labor Relations, they are committed, it's very committed to enforce the law
Onkundana ombwanawa kani hauto owapumbwa oshimaliwa meendelelo ndele owuna osheenditho owuna aaniilonga ya pumbwa okufutwa ashike mboka yena oondjo dhoye otayeende kashona ngele onkalamwenyo otayi nyengana autocash otayi ningi ompu tu etela ohauto yoye e to pewa epresenda 45 dhongushu yoshiyenditho shoye muule ashike wimuntetile 45. Ino pumbwa oka payslip nenge ostatement yombaanga ohauto yoye ashike mona omula oshimaliwa ethimbo weshi pumbwa tu dhengela nena ko 061 400 6 ano ko 061 400 6 oshipulela ko AutoCash.
And now we resume that conversation with Asho Henok Amkwa on International Labor Day coming up on 1st May.
The law, and to ensure that the employees or both parties, which are employer and employees, they are fully comply with the law. We are saying that we have the law enforcers on the ground that are committed to go to different types of workplace inspection in order to monitor the compliance with the labor legislations. We understand and we noted that there are some challenges here and there, because especially whereby our workforce or the employers out there or the community, they lack the knowledge of understanding of this labor law.
Yeah.
We are trying to strengthen in the knowledge or the understanding among the parties, being the employer and employee, to make sure that we educate the community on the provisions of the labor law. And also we really want to the employees to understand their workers' rights. well, the rights that they are entitled to.
Yeah.
And it was granted by the Labor Act. And that's actually what we are advocating. And I just want to assure you that the ministry is very committed, and we are trying to make sure that we strengthen it, and we don't want to be the business as usual, and we want everybody to understand and comply with the law.
Mm. Now, what role do trade unions currently play in defending workers' rights, and how has their influence evolved over the recent years?
Yes, thank you very much. The trade union, it's one of the critical component when it comes to the labor fraternity. The trade unions, they are very play a very critical role in terms of protecting the interest of the employee.
Yeah.
So the trade union, actually, they are educated. They are educating their members on the issue of their labor rights, and also to make sure that the employees, they understand their labor rights, so that they avoid the labor exploitation and also unfair labor practices that are usually happen at workplaces.
Mm.
So the trade unions, they really play the critical role, and they have they are exercising their legal mandate is given by the Labor Act, so that they can at least recruit their members, and they promote the freedom of association, so that they can make sure that the employees, they are not suffering at workplaces, and also the basic conditions of employment are well known by employees, so that the employee can also report to them any unfair labor practices that are happening. They can represent their employees at workplaces,
mm-hmm.
In order to ensure they can also negotiate the interests of their employees to the management of the workplace.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Now, many Namibians still work in the informal sector. What efforts are perhaps being made to extend protection and benefits or formal recognition of these workers?
Yes, thank you very much, Happy. It's very, very important also to note that the Ministry of Labor, while they are focusing also on enforcing the labor law and make sure that everyone is compliant, it's also our legal duties to make sure that we educate and prevent. They used to say prevention is better than cure.
Mm-hmm.
We are making that such an effort to make sure that we educate our members, both informal and formal, to make sure that they first understand the what the law says, so that it can help them to make sure that they understand. So in terms of the informal sector, as we are aware, perhaps that the Labor Act is not discriminating by nature.
Mm-hmm.
It applied to all. And it, as long as there is employment relationship, and that employment relationship is regulated by the Labor Act. So obvious, we where there's an employment relationship, obvious both parties have to comply without any compromise.
Mm-hmm.
And we should, it's our responsibility to ensure that both parties, they are aware of the law. And then they know so that they know their obligation and their rights, in order to make sure that they are doing business. And at the end of the time, we also promoting the fairness in terms of negotiation,
mm-hmm.
Fairness in terms of participation in decision making, and so that the employees and the employer, by the end of the day, when they know what they are expected to them by the Labor Act, they can voluntarily comply with the provisions of the Labor Act. Right. And by that, we'll make sure that as a country, everything will go in the right direction.
Yeah. Now, Mr. Amukwa, what message do you have for employers and employees as we celebrate International Labor Day on 1st May?
Yes, thank you very much. First of all, I want to draw an attention to both employers and employees to make sure that they treat each other as one. So they are not enemies. They should not be enemy, and they should make sure that they adhere to the provision of the labor law. We have different types of labor legislations or employment law that regulating employment relationship, and this is their legal duty to comply with that law without any compromise. And I also want to draw to the attention of both employer and employee that we have the Namibia or the government has introduced the first ever national minimum wage for all employees across Namibia, and it's with effect from the 1st of January 2025, and I'm urging all both parties to comply with this legislation, and in order to make sure that at least we are law-abiding citizen, and this is a law like any other law, and it's have a legal consequence should someone not comply with the law. And by that, I just want to encourage and emphasize both parties, being the employer and employee, to make sure that they comply with the labor law.
Yeah.
And I really want to make sure that, and also to appreciate both parties, because who are in this labor fraternity, to make sure that at least they make their environment conducive for all the parties to play. And then they can happily be there and together. And at the end of the day, they improve the economy of the country. And they improve from the side of the employee, they become a productive employees at the workplace. And they should play both role is very critical.
Indeed. Yes. Thank you so much for making time for us right here on the Reading News Bulletin, Mr. Amkor.
Thank you very much, Happy, and I wish everyone to celebrate the 1st of May, Workers' Day, and to be very successful.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. With that being said, perhaps you would like to share with us how you will be celebrating International Labor Day come 1st of May. Where exactly will you be finding yourself? Would you perhaps be going to work? Are you perhaps in essential services that actually don't go on leave when it comes to or don't go on break necessarily because it's a public holiday for everyone? I think in terms of Workers' Day, we have to look at different angles, those in the health sector, those in the communications sector, those in practical work itself, perhaps in the mining industry, essential services, like I'd earlier mentioned. When we talk about essential services, we're talking about people that work in the hospital. Imagine it's public holiday and everybody decides we are going on holiday because it's public holiday, and then people are coming in. This one needs to be sutured. This one needs a critical emergency intervention, and everyone else is on holiday. So when we talk about International Labor Day, it's actually a broader topic, hey, for those who are in the essential services. We give thumbs up to them, and of course we will be engaging and we will be bringing you news regarding this as we head up to 1st of May. With that being said, we invite you to partake in the news bulletin that is on 083-288-401. As you know, we're now going for a commercial break, but we have yet more news coming your way right here on the radar, so stay tuned.
Did you know that in Namibia, over 1.4 million people use their mobile device to access the internet? So why not meet your current and potential customers where they already are? With over 600,000 cumulative users around the world, between the Eagle FM and Imba mobile apps, Eagle Media House has the perfect digital platforms for you to advertise your business, upcoming events, weddings, vacancies, funerals, or any other announcement that you have on their digital billboards in their mobile applications. Put your ad on our digital billboards and with one tap of the screen, lead users directly to an address of your choosing. For more information, contact Hende at 081-410-9077. That's 081-410-9077.
Welcome back. The Coca-Cola's Share a Coke campaign rolled out at Cosmos Fee Festival over the weekend, adding a personal touch to the celebration. Now, speaking to Eagle FM, Pombili Shilongo, one of the Coca-Cola ambassadors, expressed their excitement about the change, where she stated that the Share a Coke campaign has been around for a while, with its first introduction in 2011. And while it initially featured names from outside Namibia, this time around she was thrilled to see local names incorporated into the campaign. Now, earlier this month, Coca-Cola relaunched the Share a Coke campaign, offering fresh experiences and inviting a new generation to connect. The campaign, first launched in 2011, had replaced the brand's logo with names on bottles, making it the first of its kind. This time, Coca-Cola encouraged people to share a Coke with their friends and create lasting memories.
So Pombili, thank you so much for joining us and speaking to Eagle FM. We are here at the Cosmos Fierce. What is the Share the Coke Namibia campaign? Can you touch a little bit on that?
Share the Coke campaign has been in the industry for a while. It was initially introduced 2011, and then it came back. And initially when it was introduced, we were really getting a lot of, you know, names from outside. We didn't really have like our local names incorporated into the campaign. Now that it's back, I'm super excited because I've been a Coke influencer for the longest, and finally going into a shop and finding one with my name, it's aesthetic to find names like Loije, you know, Namibian names. Find Martha, find Helena. It really, really brings the Share a Coke down to us Namibians to say, hey guys, this is your moment. It's your part. And it's really all about when you go and grab a Coke, which has been the tradition. You would grab somebody a Coke. You would grab your husband, your wife a Coke. But this time around, because they have names, it's sort of like the fridge is asking you, who are you going to share a Coke with? So you end up taking for, hey, let me get for my sister. Let me get for my brother. Let me get one for my family. And that's basically what the campaign, in my understanding, it's all about sharing a Coke and who would you share a Coke with.
All right. I won't give up. One day I'll find my name on there. I know my name is not Namibian, but one day I will find my name. I definitely have hopes for that.
I love it.
But what message do you think this campaign, what is the core message of the Share the Coke campaign?
How many brands do Namibians support? How many brands do Namibians go out every single day and take part, and yet does not give back to the community? If you look at Coca-Cola as a brand on its own, it's one of those brands that are almost on every initiative. Social responsibilities, any school activities, they are very, very big on their visibility and sponsorship. Meaning, in as much as you go out there and buy a Coke, your 2 cents out of that Coke still comes back to the community. You can't really say that for most of the brands. For now, I mean, how many brands can I say I go out there and I find my name out there? You know, it's just one of those family-orientated brand that you can just say, hey, it's not just about drinking a Coke really, but it's like, I want to share this moment with you. I want to create this memorable moment with you. And if you look at the Coke bottle on the side, there's a QR code that you can scan there and create actually a memory maker. And that's where every time you find a Coke brand, there is memories onto there. So imagine them going out of their way to actually create a very cool app to lock down that memory. Not only just keeping it on your phone, but like taking it further than that. So it's bigger than Namibia. It's bigger than Africa. It's an international brand that we all come together and stand as one.
I think my favorite one is sharing the Coke with my aunties. I don't know if I have aunties, but that's my favorite one. And this brings us to partnership. How important are radio partnerships for this Share Coke campaign?
Radio.
Radio or the media?
Well, Namibia's 90% form of media is radio. We can't take that away. Television comes second to that. So if you can hear about Share a Coke first before you see it, that for me is where the beauty is in, because it ignites your thought. Radio creates imagination. It creates illusion first before getting it. And I feel like radio listeners actually have the best memory first before a television viewer or a social media viewer, because they imagine, what is the Share a Coke campaign about? What do the names look like? And where are the names positioned? And when you finally, as a consumer who has no access to social media, have no access to television, finally engages with this fridge that tells you, here I am, grab me, take me home, you have that radio moment that you can't really resonate with it in that given moment. It's almost like an aha moment, like, oh, is this what they were talking about on radio? And 90% of our Namibians can resonate with that, radio being the top form of information.
Right. Now, as the world is moving, we're speaking about sustainability. Many companies are setting up targets on how to be more sustainable. Can you speak to us on the aspects of sustainability within the Share the Coke campaign?
We don't even have to talk about sustainability for a brand like Coca-Cola. They have been within the industry before I was born, and they're still continuing to clearly exist within the market. COVID coming, COVID going, Coca-Cola still stood. COVID coming, COVID going, the company haven't retrenched people or gone through such a drastic change. In fact, the brand has transitioned with accommodating Coke lovers that would like it with less sugar. They've accommodated with that to say, listen, I'm taking on this healthy trip or journey with myself, but I still love my Coke. They have transitioned to say, yes, we've been giving it to you in this, but now you have this option and that option. So I don't really think it's a question of sustainability, but more of a question of, you know, the brand has been reliable. It has been consistent, and it is going to continue being consistent throughout the year. Started off, I mean, selling its first Coke for $2.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think I skipped this question in terms of, we did speak about that, but before we let you go, what are you going to share a Coke with today?
Share it with my husband already. You know, the cute ones with hubby and wifey, absolute favorite.
Nice.
But for today, I think I'm sharing it really with the people that come through to the Coke stand. The real drivers of the brand. We are the influencers, but I've met a couple of people that say, listen, my day can't start without a Coke. Those are the people I'm sharing my Coke with today. These are the people that are saying, I cannot live without getting a hamper, getting a bag. It's beyond marketing. I mean, for most people, you would think, wow, what a beautiful marketing strategy. But for me, I'm like seeing people that are eager to just get a branded Coca-Cola bottle or a branded Coca-Cola cap. There's so much resonations that they have towards that, more than what we see here. Those are the people I'm here to share a Coke with and create a very nice, memorable moment, because, hey, Cosmosphere only comes once in a year, so you take advantage of it.
All right. Thank you, Pombili, for speaking to us, and enjoy sharing a Coke with your outies, your bros, yes, as well as the Namibian people.
And please go out there and find your name, because I believe our names, all of us, our names are on the Coke bottle. All
right.
And there you had it. And now for a short commercial break, yet more news coming your way. Our studio line is also very much open for you to come through on
083-288-401. Ninge kwata fano na Monica kushikondosho ipindi kono rahita tuimwe, heari imwe, ne heari, imwe imwe no hamano. That is 081-7147-116. Mwamberewa kono rahita tu natu, mbali o hetatu vatatu, ne nola no natu. Ninge tumo emaila ku monica@eaglefm.com.na. Opo umone oshijemo shiri nawa.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Now, with the proposed free tertiary education, or the announced free tertiary education by President Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwah at her State of the Nation address for public institutions come 2026, we have perhaps the questions on many people's minds of what about private institutions? What happens to them? With that being said, we have reached out to Acting Vice Chancellor of Velvicia University, Professor Marius Hedimbi, on what his take on this regard. Good afternoon, Professor Marius Hedimbi, and welcome to On the Radar News Bulletin.
Good morning, Happy. How are you?
Well, thank you. Now, following the announcement by the President Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwah at her State of the Nation address that come 2026 academic year, public tertiary education fees will fall. Now, how does Velvicia University view the government's plan to implement free public tertiary education in 2026?
For now, of course, we are in agreement with what, we support what the government initiative is.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we are waiting for more details as to how the private institutions will be catered for.
Yeah.
Mm.
Okay. So currently, what contingency plans are in place to mitigate potential financial losses due to reduced demand for private education?
Yeah, for now, we are not expecting a significant drop in the demand for private education yet.
Mm-hmm.
We think maybe that is in the long-term plan, because remember, the reason that the public private institutions exist mm-hmm. is to complement the government.
Yeah.
So we provide an alternative opportunities for those who may not have a chance to do the courses of their choices in the public universities.
Mm-hmm.
So we feel that the demand will still remain there for a few more years to come. Maybe it is the longer term where the effect might be felt.
Mm. Professor?
Yeah, to give you an example, for example, government introduced free primary and secondary education,
mm-hmm.
but you see the demand for private schools is still there
mm-hmm.
because of the alternative that private institutions offer that government institutions might not be able to offer.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And how will the university ensure continued access for students from low-income backgrounds in light of public institutions becoming free?
Yeah, I was just reading the newspaper. Is it of today or of yesterday?
I think it's today.
It's today, I think, where they said that the funding formula for the private institutions is still being worked on,
mm-hmm.
and we hope we will be engaged
mm-hmm.
so that we can understand what it means for us as private institutions
mm-hmm.
and how we can use that formula to leverage and also meet the government's strategic goals halfway.
Mm. Okay. And furthermore, what would you also say in this regard, Professor?
Yeah, for me, it's like what I said earlier, we as private institutions, we cannot operate in the vacuum.
Mm-hmm.
We still need the government to set the tone and the agenda.
Mm-hmm.
And then we still believe that we are not here to compete with government institutions. We are here to complement what the government institutions are doing
yeah.
and making sure that all the students have access to education and also have more choices of where they want to study
mm-hmm.
and what type of study they want. And for us, I think for me, this is also a good chance for the private institutions to increase their relevance and the quality of education they offer
mm-hmm.
so that students and parents would have a choice to choose that I would rather go to a private institution because of the quality and the value that they offer to my child.
Mm. That is so clear. Professor Hedimbi, thank you so much for making time for us right here on the Reader News Bulletin.
Thank you.
Okay.
Mm.
And of course, trust Eagle FM and On the Reader News Bulletin to keep you well informed and educated on the matters that are making headlines, whether it's health, whether it's education or whatsoever, or upcoming events that are making headlines. But for now, we pause here and take a trip to the marketplace. When we return, we'll be back with economic, trading economics on what's happening currently and making headlines today in terms of economic indicators.
Back your preconceptions of technology. Explore the apps that are redefining the future. Out with the old and in with the new. From carrying physical hard copy hymn books to the world of digital hymn book versions. See the bold new expressions of the Imba app. Feel like you're part of something bigger. Experience the digital hymn book in the palm of your hands. Behold, the new and improved Imba that brings together various hymn books under one app. Here to unite a nation and spread the gospel. Some of the featured hymn books on Imba app are The Elsinehangano, Dio Sherero Omaimburiro, the Catholics in Maneka Karunga, the Afrikaans, Sengfuor, Diara, and many more. Contact us today if you'd like for your church hymn book to be added onto the list of Imba hymn books. 081-2358-063. You can also email us at digital@omalaiti.com. Download and discover Imba today. You can find it on the App Store as well as the Google Play Store.
And now for some trading economics on what's making headlines. On agricultural commodity, the top commodity losers are rice at negative 3.29%, corn coming in at minus 0.67%, and rubber at minus 0.65%. Gains are led by cocoa at 2.96% and coffee at 1.81%. Oat is it standing at 1.39%. Now on metal commodities, the top commodity losers are lithium carbonate at minus 0.87%, with steel rebar at minus 0.72%. Gold comes in at minus 0.51%. Energy commodities, the top losers are crude oil, WTI, at minus 1.49%, Brent crude oil at minus 1.48%, and natural gas EU Dutch at minus 1.19%. Now, corn futures fell toward 4.70 US dollars per bushel, hovering near their lowest level since April 8th, as rapid progress in U.S. planting and ongoing trade tensions with China weighed on prices. Now, according to the U.S. Department of Agriculture, 24% of the corn crop had been planted as of Sunday, slightly below analyst expectations of 25%, but above the five-year average of 22%. U.S. farmers are projected to expand corn acreage in 2025 to a 12-year high, although China's recent decision to exempt some U.S. goods from the tariff raised hopes for easing trade tensions. Tariffs on U.S. gains remain in place, likely limiting exports to the top global importer for the foreseeable future. Now, Portugal consumer confidence indicator declined further to 17.9 in April 2025. That is the lowest level in 11 months, down from negative 16.0 in the previous month. Consumers became increasingly pessimistic about the 12-month outlook for the country's economic situation. That is a minus 30.0 versus a minus 25.7 in March. Now, their household financial situation is at minus 4.0 versus minus 2.4. And the climate for major purchases is at minus 28.2 versus minus 27.3. Now, Belgium's GDP has risen by 0.4% in 3 months to March 2025. That is following a 0.2% rise in the prior period, above market forecast of a 0.2% growth. Preliminary estimates showed. Now, this marketed the strongest expansion since the first quarter of 2024, mainly driven by construction at plus 0.9% and services at plus 0.4%. Meanwhile, industrial activities tailed. On a yearly basis, the Belgium GDP rose by 1.1% in the first quarter, matching the rate of the previous three-month period. Now, Italy industry sales fell in February. Industrial sales in Italy fell by 0.4% month on month in February 2025, following a downward revised 3.7% increase in January. The decline was driven by a drop in domestic orders at minus 1.3%, partially offset by a rise in foreign sales at plus 1.2%. Now, among major industrial groupings, orders fell for intermediate goods at minus 1.1% and consumer goods at minus 2.7%, while capital goods came in at plus 2.5% and energy at +0.2% recorded gains. Now, that's what we had for you on trading economics and what's making headlines today. For now, let's take a pause and take a visit to the marketplace. When we do return, we will be bringing you news beyond the borders. To stay with us, and remember, our studio line is very much open. You're invited to partake on the news show. That is by dialing in studio number 083-288-401.
Mukungu lelewa tuko maikuto amina apiri kwa mavchaziva. Mwere kisema app ato kasi nchavu kamso, zakale liferile, nise kunani zencha. Kuzo wako kushimba lifera zarivuka kuya kwa lifasi la lifera fama kepe. Mwone maikuto amancha a inga app, mwikute kulibusie mba santo ye nyetuna. Mwikole sfera fama kepe, marizo hola mina. Hamuvone. Imba encha ni encha farizwe ikopanya nifuta ya lifera matasa app ilimu kukopanya naha ni kuhasa nyori nzira mlimu. Zeni zefu mani hamasfera sesfa app ya imba ize tatama Elsin, Ehangano, Oshiherero, Omaemuriro, Catholic, Simani Kakarunga, Africans, ni zeni zengata. Mululi zeze kachenu, haiva mtavira kulisfera sa kireke ya mina, si eke zwe fa mkoloko walifera za imba, fa 081-2358-063, kapa mulumere imele kwa digital@omalite.com. Muzive ni kufumana imba kachenu, mkona kufumana fa App Store ni Google Play Store.
Ulio mnangeshefa ni wahara kushivifa oma kuroe kupitira muhurike radio station aweyo Eagle FM. Enya mkuro olongaha. Nyingi kwa tafano na Monica kushikondosha ipindi kono rahitatu imwe, heali imwe, ne heali, imwe imwe no hamano. That is 081-7147-116. Mamberewa kono rahitatu natu, mbali o hetatu batatu, ne nola no natu. Nenge tumo emaila monica@eaglefm.com.na opo mwane oshijemo shiri nawa
Eagle FM the eye.
Did you know that in Namibia over 1.4 million people use their mobile device to access the internet? So why not meet your current and potential customers where they already are? With over 600,000 cumulative users around the world, between the Eagle FM and Imba mobile apps, Eagle Media House has the perfect digital platforms for you to advertise your business, upcoming events, weddings, vacancies, funerals, or any other announcement that you have on their digital billboards in their mobile applications. Put your ad on our digital billboards, and with one tap of the screen, lead users directly to an address of your choosing. For more information, contact Hende at 081-410-9077. That's 081-410-9077.
Welcome back, and now we take you to news beyond the borders. That's starting off regionally, then move over to continental news, thereafter some international news. Now, we start off in South Africa on the VAT ruling as SARS Commissioner vows to monitor compliance.
The SARS Commissioner Edward Keith Sweater says the VAT court ruling now makes way for a clear process, as the order allows SARS to administer VAT efficiently while protecting taxpayers. Keith Sweater says he's called for an open process to the budget with all possibilities and considerations in mind.
Well, everything has to be back on the cards now.
Yeah.
And I don't want to preempt where the minister will conclude. But I know, having spoken to the minister, that we have to have an absolute open mind and consider all possibilities. Ultimately, it is about the choice that the minister made of fiscal consolidation.
The National Treasury has been criticized in its implementation of the budget, with Section 74 of the VAT Act, which makes it possible for the finance minister to action the proposed tax increases in the budget speech before Parliament votes on it. Political economist Peter Attard Montalto says there are hard lessons for the National Treasury and Parliament, also cautioning of a massive growth hole in revenue that still remains.
But the big thing now hanging over this budget actually isn't the VAT hike. The net impact to removing the VAT, also removing the zero rating, is about 11.5 billion rand. There's a much, much larger problem that's now emerged, which is that growth forecasts have to be downgraded because of slower global growth, because of the impact of the Trump tariffs on global growth and in South African growth as well. We've slashed our forecast in line, but we did before the IMF, in line with the IMF, down from 1.9 to 1.1%. Treasury in February was still sitting at 1.9%. And that for us creates a 25 billion rand hole that has to be filled.
Economist Mielani Mkabela says the consumer becomes the biggest loser in the VAT dispute. He shares how much the 0.5 percentage point would have cost the consumer if it was passed on the 1st of May 2025.
Employees or workers earning 10,000 at 5% additional, 0.5% additional VAT, it could be 50 rand. For 20,000 employees, it gets to be 100 rand, and for 30,000 employees, it has to be around 150, and for 40,000, it is getting into around 200. For 50,000, it is around 250, and then for 60,000, it's around 300, and for 100,000, it is around 500 in rand.
Rating agencies say they too are closely monitoring developments in South Africa and the economy. Chief Rating Officer at Sovereign Africa Ratings, Zwelibanzi Maziya, believes the DA and EFF's challenge underscores the critical issue of balance of power between the executive and legislative branches in the fiscal decision making.
While the finance minister's team argues that the provision is constitutional. The challenge raises valid concerns about ensuring a robust legislative oversight. So for us as a credit rating agency, we will be closely monitoring the outcome, because it could influence in perceptions of institutional checks and balances.
Consumers have been urged to be vigilant at the point of sale from the 1st of May 2025 and insist on a refund if the slip reflects a 15.5% tax, with expectations being of the tabling of a third 2025 budget. Katlego Lgodi, SABC News in Johannesburg.
Meanwhile, in Zambia, four water utilities are said to benefit from a $33 million US dollar World Bank project.
To ensure everyone's access to safe and affordable drinking water, adequate sanitation and hygiene, and improved water quality, the Lwapula Water and Sanitation Company will soon implement a $5.9 million United States dollar World Bank-funded water reticulation project in the province. This came to light when the Parliamentary Committee on Parastatal Bodies was on a working visit to the water utility company.
We have been running with the World Bank to secure some funding. Suffice to mention that as of last week, that's when the World Bank Board of Directors now approved this financing mechanism for Zambia. So under that umbrella, it's about $3 million to cater for four water utility companies, and our component as Lwapula Water that is going to come is about $5.9 million. So that has now been, last week it was approved by the World Bank Board. So what is the next step is we just have the financing agreement signed between Zambia and the World Bank. Then the subsidiary agreement between the government and Lwapula Water, then we begin to access the funding. We hope we can begin to access the funding by end of third quarter.
Meanwhile, during the tour of the Lwapula Water wastewater treatment plant, the Parliamentary Committee on Parastatal Bodies chairperson, Dr. Chitalo Chilufya, asked the utility company to spearhead the efforts of government in providing access to clean and safe water.
So what Lwapula Water and the sanitation company needs to do is to spearhead the efforts of government to ensure that access to clean and safe water through proper infrastructure, good network, and overall good governance is assured for the people. That there must be efforts in ensuring that there is a peripheral network beyond the network that they have built from the treatment plant to to ensure that our people access clean and safe water at the last mile.
Speedy Makasa, reporting for Zanis TV in Mansa District.
Meanwhile, in Uganda, they're talking about taxing agriculture. Why is the elephant in the room?
To tax or not to tax agriculture? That is the question. And this is based on the premise that agriculture continues to avoid taxation despite being one of the economic sectors that earn taxable income.
The argument has been agriculture is a risky business. Agriculture is a very difficult sector, but I don't think there is a simple sector. I don't think that there is a sector that is easy to manage. Look at trade. I mean, you open up a shop and you're hoping that somebody will come and buy your goods and services.
The continued belief that agriculture does not make money or should not be taxed is to actually say agriculture does not make money. And that becomes a disincentive to commercialization of agriculture.
So, what is it about agriculture generating about a quarter of the country's overall economic output that makes it so difficult to be brought into the taxable bracket? Could this be a case of a monkey being a judge in a matter involving a forest?
A person with a full truck lorry of 10 tons would drive from Isinjuru up to Kampala without paying a single tax. Probably those fees at the district level. A person with a ranch, 1,000 cows, will never meet a tax anywhere. There is this political economy analysis that the majority of people whom would have taxed in agriculture are the ones in decision making. And therefore, they have decided not to touch that sector deliberately because they will be, you know, they will be the ones to pay the taxes, which is very unfortunate.
There is a need to rethink where, how, who to tax, so that the small-scale producers who are supporting this economy, who are feeding us, you know, who are using a hoe, not even a tractor, a hand hoe, to put food on the table, to grow coffee which we export, and then you tax them. So there has to be a rethink.
Unlike the government who continue to drag its feet, farmers seems willing to engage on taxing the sector, especially if return on their investment can be guaranteed.
To be taxed is very okay, we welcome it, but what are they giving us in turn? If you come to tax it on the garden, people are not ready, they will abandon the gardens.
I was in Germany and I found the kind of farming that they do, that is the type that can be taxed. But in the Ugandan context, I feel our farmers, including myself, are still at a very low scale.
One of the frequently asked questions is how do you tax farmers earning taxable income, or where do you catch them to tax them?
The products of commercial agriculture should be taxed.
So let's tax the product after it has left the farm. That taxation be done at the market, at the abattoir for the cows, and at the market for the likes of matoke, Irish potatoes, and that kind of things.
And then bring on board the digitalization system of payment. I think we will, in one way or the other, be able to get money from the agriculture sector.
Taxation is one of the primary revenue sources for the government until it involves agriculture. Then you'll see politicians, many of whom earn taxable income from the economic sector, making phrases like, no need to tax agriculture, even as other economic sectors shoulder the tax obligations. Ismail Musa, Ladu, NTV, Business.
Meanwhile, Tanzania has lifted a ban on agricultural imports from South Africa.
Now, Tanzania has lifted its ban on agricultural imports from South Africa as well as Malawi. This comes just 2 days after imposing it in its response to trade restrictions from both countries. Now, the reversal follows swift diplomatic engagements with South Africa's International Relations Minister, Ronald Lamola, even welcoming the move as a testament to the power of dialogue and regional cooperation. For more on this discussion, let's bring in AgriSA CEO Johan Kotze, who joins us now. Mr. Kotze, thank you so much for the time. Appreciate it. Good morning to you then. Let's just start at the beginning, if you will. Let's remind our audience, why exactly did we get here? What actually happened? How did we have a break in ties when it comes to imports from South Africa to Tanzania?
As I understood it, there was a claim from the Minister of Agriculture in Tanzania that they could not export bananas to South Africa. Well, then our DDG of Plant and Animal Health, Minister Suraghi, then said that but there was never an application for bananas to be imported or exported from Tanzania into South Africa. So I think what I also, and you mentioned it when you started, I think what I've learned out of this and what is good for South Africa, it lasted 2 days, the ban, but there was immediate reaction from South Africa, immediate communication and engagement, and thereafter it was open again. So a bit of a testimony that we can do it, and that Africa is an important destiny for South African produce. And also we need some imports from the rest of from Africa into South Africa. So a bit of a testimony of that we can, and well done to our Minister Ramola in opening it up again.
Yeah, I mean, one could say that this is the kind of action we possibly may need with a more willing participant out of the United States as well. Then we could possibly get the same thing done. How much agri trade does South Africa have with Tanzania, if you don't mind me asking, if you know?
About 1%. So we don't export that much.
Okay.
We have a trade surplus to Tanzania. So Tanzania is exporting to South Africa coffee, a bit of ginger, which is an interesting one. So the type of produce we don't do in South Africa. But even if it's 1%, and I think we've said that about America also, it's only 6% of our total exports. It's not about the percentage. It's about the importance. And sometimes it's significant produce that might be small, but significant for us or them. And there needs to be a bit of a trade. So, but the main thing about this is, and I think we learned that from the kind of trade spat we have with America also, is you need to engage and you need to have a relationship.
Yeah.
And if something happens, and credit to our Minister Ramola, that when it happened, immediately there was some action, engagement, good communication, and it was opened up again.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's where it needs to stop. Now we need to go back and prioritize and put ourselves into an export kind of mode and thinking of to say what is important, where should we focus, and how do we engage and communicate better and foster relationships with trade partners.
Yeah, and I'm going to touch on that actually a little bit more as well, but I wanted to find out if you...
And now that has brought us to the conclusion of today's episode of On the Radar News Bulletin. Up next is the Onkonana Dingi program brought to you by David Shombe. Thereafter, the Home Run Show with Helmut at 16:30 kicks off and keeps you company on your way home. So make sure that you do tune in. To stay connected to all our social media platforms, do also be on the lookout for the Villager newspaper, free social and economic news right in your mobile device. That is by texting on 0812004144 should you want to receive tomorrow's dose of economic news free of charge. Now, with that being said, I say my goodbyes. See you again on next episode of On the Radar, same time, same place. That is at 1300 hours to 1430 right here on Eagle FM. Goodbye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle FM.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have the capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Back your preconceptions of technology. Explore the apps that are redefining the future. Out with the old and in with the new. From carrying physical hard copy hymn books to the world of digital hymn book versions. See the bold new expressions of the Imba app. Feel like you're part of something bigger. Experience the digital hymn book in the palm of your hands. Behold, the new and improved Imba that brings together various hymn books under one app. Here to unite a nation and spread the gospel. Some of the featured hymn books on Imba app are the Elsi Nehangano, the Osherero Omaimburiro, the Catholic Simane Kakarunga, the Afrikaans Sing Voor Here, and many more. Contact us today if you'd like for your church hymn book to be added onto the list of Imba hymn books. 081-238-0063. You can also email us at digital@omalaiti.com. Download and discover Imba today. You can find it on the App Store as well as the Google Play Store. Mukungu lewa tuko maikuto.